Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Molly and Hall.
We trying to wake Chicago up.
Live at 5 on 670 The Score.
And here they come.
You know, there's not a lot going on, though, in baseball these days, is there? I mean, the hot stove league hasn't gotten all hotted up, as the English would say, because you still have the two prime candidates out there and not signed. And there is a perception that everybody is waiting to see what they get in order to figure out the market.
Obviously, the conversation has continued throughout the winter, but it's been dominated by two guys who deciding where they want to play next year and the next several years. And is that fair to the rest of the free agent field? We look at the NFL as the model almost. You talk NFL all year long, and there's topical things that come up because of the way it's structured. The calendar is structured from the Super Bowl to the combine to free agency to the draft to then the offseason. You take a couple weeks, and here we go again, training camp. Baseball has a problem because the way the market has dictated, we're waiting and waiting and waiting. And then all of a sudden, there's going to be a bunch of guys signed right before spring training, and doesn't make for a really lively offseason.
Mike Mulligan and David Hall.
Your morning guy over there.
Mornings on The Score.
We are delighted to welcome in Tom Ricketts. There seems to be a perception out there that you guys are unwilling to spend money this offseason. Is that true, and why would that be?
We have spent money this offseason. Right. Obviously, we signed Cole Hamels, and we picked up Descalzo, and I'm sure Theo's got a few moves left in him. But frankly, you know, we have one of the largest budgets in all of baseball. We have we've put that to work. We've got you know, we definitely signed a lot of players over the years. We have a team that we like. We have a team that we think is going to go a long way.
Mully Hall.
I'm so fired up.
Here we go.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of The Score. What a wondrous and glorious morning. Pre-snow fall morning in the fine city of Chicago.
Good morning, Mully.
David, it should be a good commute today, but tomorrow, thank God it's Sunday or Saturday, whatever day
tomorrow
it is.
Saturday, yeah. Don't get ahead of ourselves.
Well, it's going to snow
Saturday
overnight.
First.
Yeah? Is it? Well, it's the weekend.
This is
point.
Just one big trolling weekend for Chicago. Really.
You think it's not true? You think it's just their job?
No, I think it's going to be true, but I think it's Winter Storm Harper during the Cubs convention.
Yeah.
And you know what?
I got a new theory, though. Overnight, I developed a new theory.
What's that?
You want to hear it, or do you?
I'm all ears.
Finish your thought first, and then
well,
I'll get
to my thought is that maybe we're going to get lucky with this winter weather because the Winter Storm Harper's not going to happen.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm convinced now that the Winter Storm Harper is not going to happen.
Maybe.
Nothing else with Harper
is going to happen. So maybe Joe's got me thinking.
This is it.
The weather's not going to happen either.
And let's listen to Joe's response the other night. Joe was at the Union League Club, I believe, and he was doing a charity event. And the question, well, let's just listen.
Alex, I would like to know, what are the chances of getting, do you know the rest of this question?
It's impossible.
Bryce Harper.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Okay. Let's move along.
He jumps on that. It's not going to happen. Okay, here's my new fear. And this is just because I live in fear. My new theory is that the Cubs are going to jump in, but not on Bryce Harper. The Cubs have Albert Almora Jr., bestest buddy chum of one Manny Machado. The Cubs need Manny Machado a hell of a lot more than they need Bryce Harper. The Cubs could jump in. Manny could live in the subdivision with his brother-in-law and his bestest buddy, John Jay.
This is such a Sox fan thing.
While also going – well, I mean, nobody has asked about Machado. He jumps in to tell you, no Harper. But at 175, are you telling me that that's not what Theo is secretly laying in the weeds hoping to do?
Okay, not to just dismiss that out of hand, but, I mean, you were here yesterday.
Okay.
Talking with Tom Ricketts, and we both asked him questions, and we both heard his answers.
Yes, he said Theo has some moves left.
But I don't think he meant – but he also talked about how limiting the budget
all that anyone talks about is Harper.
Yeah.
They're missing the point.
Okay.
Well, who do you need more? Who do you need more? Addison Russell is going to be suspended to start the season. You got Baez, who can play shortstop. You bring in Machado, who could play shortstop.
Well, you could fit Manny Machado in any lineup in any
third
anywhere.
Base. Yeah. And the third baseman can move to the outfield. Wouldn't that make you better right there?
How does that change the realities that we outlined yesterday in terms of all the core players that you're going to have to pay?
They don't have the money to go after $300 million, but $175 makes everything easier. You could go ahead. You could give – you know, there's 1,000 different answers to this, David, but the new fear or the new Southside fear, the new Northside reality – could be Manny Machado.
That the Cubs are the mystery team and they're going to swoop in.
What do you think?
That they don't have to have the brother-in-law, they don't have to have the buddy because they already have the cousin in Albert Almora Jr.
And he still gets the guys playing on the south side. They're all in the same city.
Again, you can't dismiss any possibility until it happens because there's so much mystery surrounding Manny Machado. That said, if the Cubs were to swoop in and to pay Manny Machado what it would take to get him to the north side, it would be contrary to everything we've heard from Theo, everything we heard from Tom Ricketts, everything we heard from them all off season. It would be a shocker. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Ben, we'd never believe him again. We'd have no reason to ever believe him again. I mean, they have...
But reality changes. You can deny, and then you can make a move. I'm just saying, if everybody in their heart really believes, oh, it's bound to be Bryce Harper, well, why? Well, because Bryce has a dog named Wrigley and he's buddies with Chris Bryant. But why, from a Cubs perspective? They're locked into the Hayward contract.
Mm-hmm.
They are going to have to pay Bryant. Bryce Harper has one position. Manny Machado has versatility. What do the Cubs like in their lineup? I'm just saying Manny fits the Cubs a lot better than Bryce Harper does when you really break it down and think about it.
And the budget constraints that we've outlined and articulated?
The Machado contract is not $300 million. It's less than Jason Hayward.
Do you really think Bryce is going to get $300 million?
I don't, but allegedly he had an offer of that.
Yeah.
Reportedly, I should say, he had an offer of that.
So, well, that would make for some Cubs convention if they introduced Manny Machado.
Well, I don't think it's going to happen this weekend. I think that they could be the mystery team.
The dark horse team?
Well,
yeah.
Because Theo, what does Theo do? He waits until he believes. Look what they did with Darvish. They waited and waited and waited, and then they got it done.
There's still some people after. You know, well, I'm not, again, I think that in this offseason and given Theo's past, yeah, I'll reserve judgment there. But I think that there's still some people, even after hearing everything Theo said, everything that Tom Ricketts said, there's a Philadelphia report last night that says that the Cubs are still standing idly by, waiting until the last moment for Bryce Harper. And that's a possibility. I still think that's a long shot.
Yeah, I don't think Harper's the guy. I think now that Machado's the guy because it makes more sense to
How
me.
Much of that is fear talking? How much of that is the White Sox 90, in you?
95%.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe close to 98%, 98.5, 98.7. I don't know. A lot.
A lot.
But you don't think when you really stop and it just – if let me just – David, take a moment.
I'm taking a moment.
And just say – put Manny Machado in that lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Does that not fix the lineup?
Well, it gives you an offense that's no longer broken.
And where does he fit in?
He would play short.
Or?
Javi Baez would play second.
Or third? I'm just saying,
if he's going to sign with the Cubs, it's going to be with the understanding that he's going to play shortstop. I think he wants to play shortstop, right?
Well, have you met Joe Madden? Where's Chris Bryant playing?
Where you got him in?
Left field.
I think, what are you doing with Kyle Schwarber?
No. Right field.
I think right field.
Hayward is the defensive
Jason
replacement.
Jason Hayward is $186 million defensive replacement.
So you're moving Hayward into center, finally?
Maybe.
Does that make your defense better?
Maybe there's an Almora Hayward rotation, happy every once in a while.
You got
Happy's
a lot of players.
Happy might be at
Who would
second.
You rather have, Dustin? Harper at $300 million to for whatever reason to price the Vegas guys out of town, or Manny Machado to fix the lineup?
Well, I think Machado is a better overall baseball player. He's a more valuable.
Why haven't we talked about him going to the Cubs? You know why? Because Harper's got a dog named Ripley.
No, I think it's because perhaps, but I think also we're listening. I mean, it wouldn't be the first time that the front office of a pro sports team was trying to pull the wool over somebody's eyes.
It seems like everything they're doing is dismissing Harper, but no one really asks him about Machado, who's the guy that makes more sense when you stop and think how they could foil the White Sox.
They could foil the White Sox. That would foil the White Sox and the Phillies and the Nationals. I mean, that would be a coup. It would be a coup if they signed Manny Machado. I just don't. I don't think it's realistic.
I don't think they would have gone through all of this Addison Russell saga with bringing him back and,
right?
and standing for him and caping for him and talking about his rehabilitation just to replace him with Manny Machado. I don't think it would have been worth it.
But
for
Kevin,
all of this.
Who's the better player? And let me ask something. One of the
if
reasons
they planned on signing Manny Machado, reasons, though, they would have cut Addison Russell.
Okay,
months
I disagree. Addison Russell is an asset. By giving him this contract, by having it a controllable one where he can make the money back, whatever way you want to put it, that makes him somebody you could trade. You know, you could bring him back and then you could move him if indeed you had too much in your lineup and felt that, I mean, he, you know, you're getting something for a guy to whom under your decree would get nothing. You get nothing for.
Hmm.
I don't know. I mean, we could
but
talk about
the
it
other
all day.
Reason, though, that I think there's some legs to what you're saying. It's this $175 million offer.
That's
so
the whole
all
point.
All of a sudden now, wait, Tom, can we,
yeah,
Crane.
Oh, hey, this
Tom,
is a lot cheaper than we thought it might be.
Yeah, we need to get we right. need to let's gather around. Okay,
we got the pictures.
Let's throw
coming
another
off
log
the
on
books.
The fire.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Let's sit down. Maybe a scotch.
Just saying,
scotch it's, egg, whatever how, it takes.
You know, give the guy the 3-year out, do whatever. I mean, do whatever you have to do.
That's the reason I think there is a possibility.
That's my point. The contract changes everything.
Everything.
We didn't have the flexibility this year to go sign a huge free agent, and I'm not sure we would have anyway, to be honest. We like the team we have. We have strong young guys at most positions.
They didn't have that flexibility to go to bring back Jake or to go get Yu Darvish, and then they did. And Yu Darvish ended up being a lot less, even though it was a lot more than he was worth. As it turned out, he was damaged goods when he came in.
I'm sure Theo's got a few moves left in him.
Oh, my God. Okay.
I heard this weekend. I heard bullpen moves when I heard that. I did not hear they're positioning and
plotting. How did
you hear
bullpen moves, though? I mean, they've like – I know they need that. Thank you, Kevin. I didn't need the metrics. I didn't need your metrics calculator to figure that out. But they seem like they've missed on all these guys.
We have a texter who gets it. He says, I like your Cubs Machado theory, Mully, tantalizing with just a whiff of conspiracy theory. I like it a lot. There you go, Dustin. This is right up your alley. You should be
jumping all over. I just put my phone down.
Dustin texted that in. Let's get to the 5-5. We'll do that now. But this demands future discussion. Can we agree on that, Mr. Haw?
Sure.
Okay. I can tell your enthusiasm. You know, is it me needing public therapy? Okay, fair
maybe,
enough.
Maybe. Yeah.
It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
5-5 is brought to you by Sport Clips. Cut the weight, download the new Sport Clips haircut app, and check in.
It's 5-5 with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. 5-5 with Mully and Haw starts now.
Matt Nagy was named Coach of the Year by the Pro Football Writers Association. Is Nagy the best coach in the division, and where does he rank in the league?
I think Nagy's deserving of that award by the Pro Football Writers Association. I think that right now, 2018, yeah, he's the best coach in the division. He just won the division in his first year in the division. He also has a really good team. Where does he rank in the league? I got to tell you, I was thinking about this myself. I think he might be a top 10 coach right now for 2018. I think the four guys that are left are probably better than him, probably ahead of him when you start putting the list together. I think that, you know, you look at the teams that were in the playoffs. Would you take him? You know, Pete Carroll's pretty damn good coach. I think Pete Carroll, but would you take him over Jason Garrett? Absolutely.
Oh yeah,
I mean that would I would I take a lot of people over
everybody
Jason
but
Garrett.
Jerry Jones would take him over Jason Garrett.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
What about the AFC teams? You know, Anthony Lynn. Do you like him? I like him a lot, but I would take Matt Nagy over him. because he comes with the added benefit of running his own side of the ball. Who was the other AFC team that just lost? My mind just went blank.
Frank Reich.
Yeah, okay. I definitely take...
What about the Chargers coach?
Yeah, I just mentioned him. I would take... So I think when you really get down to it, how many coaches are you taking over the guy right now? You know, he might be nine. I don't know. He's a top 10 coach right now in the NFL, which and no one in the division, I'd say, is better than him right now.
Yeah, I think it was deserving. Frank Reich made a nice run, but I think they split that up well with
Chris.
Pro Football Writers gave Chris Ballard the Executive of the Year, and Matt Nagy got the Coach of the Year. I do think he's got the potential to be a top 10 coach. I think when you look at the AFC, yeah, I mean, there's Belichick, there's John Harbaugh, there's Mike Tomlin. I mean, those are guys that you would peak, Andy Reid. But beyond that, I don't know that Bill O'Brien is a guy that jumps out and says, okay, hire me, because I don't think he does the same thing for your franchise overall and the culture that Matt Nagy has done for the Bears. And I think that's the reality. Doug Peterson, yeah, he's got a Super Bowl ring. And he has the same sort of impact and an infectious kind of enthusiasm that makes other people better. And that's what you're looking for. And that's Matt Nagy's greatest strength right now, is that, I think he makes everybody around him better, or he has in the past year, and that's going to be the challenge moving forward. So I think he was deserving. I think he's definitely the best coach in the division right now, and he's a top 10 coach.
Yeah, I definitely think he's the best coach in the division. I mean, it's funny, none of these guys have won a playoff game yet, but it ends up being a Nagy versus Zimmer conversation, a 60-year-old guy against a 40-year-old guy, an offensive guy against a defensive guy. So I certainly think that he's the number one guy in the NFC North. As far as the league goes, my first reaction when I saw this question was, oh, well, he's not top 10. He hasn't won a playoff game. I haven't been a fan of his performances in his two playoff games. And then you start going down the list of guys you don't like, guys you do. Okay, which guys would I put ahead of him? He is a top 10 coach right now, and I'm not even the biggest Nagy fan. I've criticized him from time to time. But the guys that I put ahead of him, the four guys coaching on Sunday, Harbaugh, I put Peterson and Carroll. So I have him in there in the top 10, probably around number 8.
What about the Niners coach Shanahan?
I think I put him on the same tier. I put Reich on that tier. McDermott's a really good coach too.
He is.
The Kyle Shanahan thing kind of baffles me a little bit. I know he lost his quarterback this season, but I don't know. You're going to put him right up there with Matt Nagy?
He was running the offense when they went to the Super Bowl in Atlanta. I think he's a real good coach.
Since he left Atlanta, they haven't been the same. You're right about that. Matt Nagy for sure is the best coach in the division. I mean, I didn't really have to think very hard about that at all. We have no idea what Matt LaFleur is going to do next season in north of the Cheddar Curtain, as Dustin would say. I'll take him over Mike Zimmer for sure. Matt Patricia certainly didn't set the world on fire, so that's an easy one. Where does he rank in the league? Top 10 sounds ridiculous because it is just one season, and there are still times when you can criticize Nagy for maybe not going to certain players often enough and maybe getting a little bit too cute and maybe trying to implement things and overthinking at times, but I don't know if the NFL right now is littered with a ton of elite head coaches. You look at guys that have rings, and of course that's the top tier. You've got your Sean Paytons and your Bill Belichicks, and sure, you could probably still throw Mike Tomlin in there, even though he's lost a little bit of his luster.
Yeah.
He's got the resume where he still earns that spot. If he's not in the top 10, he's right on the cusp, and I think the Bears are set up so well for the next couple of seasons. Health always an option there. But
it's interesting. That's why I have to say right now, because we don't know enough about him. We got 1 year, and you're basing him on 1 year, and you're basing everyone else on however length of time they had. But right now, he sure looks like a top 10.
He does look like a top 10 coach, and going forward, it definitely looks like he could ascend to the elite level. But that's all,
Got to win, baby.
Got to win. You got to develop the quarterback. You got to get him better. You got to keep going on defense. You got to make sure the Pagano hire works, because Ryan Pace said that was essentially Matt Nagy's decision. This is what he wanted, so that's kind of on him too.
This is a really fun question. I think the division part is cut and dry right this second. I think it's cut and dry. What I think is interesting is when you get, and I agree with the top 10 thing, okay, but then it's the four guys that are left right now, and I'm really excited about these two games. I'm really, really pumped up. But how far away, I think even another question to take it to another, how far away is Matt Nagy from getting into that group, right? And obviously, as we've talked about, the wins will get you there automatically, but I think he has the ability to get there. That's what's exciting as a Bears fan. You can see it. Or you can see there's other guys that have been mentioned kind of in that middle tier that I don't see having what it takes to get there. And some of that is like Pete Carroll, right? Now, Pete Carroll 10 years ago, Matt Nagy right now, there's a debate. Pete's getting older, right? I mean, listen, if I had to win a game...
Oldest coach in the league.
And that's like a trivia question, right? I think you win some money off of that because a lot of people would not get that. Right, looks great. But yeah, I think Matt Nagy's there. I think the next thing to think about is can he get into that top five-ish range? But I think division for sure.
You've got to win a Super Bowl to do that.
Sure. You've got to win a playoff game. Let's start there.
Yeah, I agree with Kevin. I think you need to win a playoff game. You need to get, and not only you need to win a playoff game, and you need to get to an NFC championship game, right? But again, to Kevin's point also, and I think Joe pointed this out too, the bottom half of this league, super unproven. Now we're going to find out about Matt LaFleur. You know, Mully and I have talked about this all the time, right? This is either going to be a grand slam home run or a striking out looking with the winning run on third. Okay, there's no double here with that hire. Okay, I think the guy's way over his skis. He looks like a deer in headlights, and I hope I'm right. Okay, that's what I want to be right about. I want to be wrong about Leonard Floyd, and I want to be right about this.
I'm tortured by this question.
Can you please give us your Super Bowl pick by telling us the winners of the NFC and AFC championship games? Which player or players will we be talking about on Monday?
I think the Rams have a chance in New Orleans. I think that when you look at the Saints playing without Sheldon Rankins, I think it's they're vulnerable against the run. But I don't think that ultimately that's a place where Jared Goff is going to be a guy you trust with in that environment as much as you trust Drew Brees and as much as you trust the Saints offense and their ability to score points and outscore the Rams. So I am going with the Saints over the Rams. I'm also going with the opposite in Kansas City, going with the road team. I am not underestimating the Patriots. I am not underestimating Tom Brady. I don't think that's wise for anybody to do. I think the Patriots in those conditions, it's not going to be...
Everyone thinks we suck.
I don't think they suck. I don't think the Patriots are to be underestimated. They're going to go on the road. They're going to run the football. They're going to be efficient. They had one of the craziest games in possessing the ball the other day, and I don't think they faced they had the ball. Time of possession was crazy lopsided, and they didn't have more than a third and six. They never faced longer than a third and six. This is a team that is driven, committed, and they know how to win at this level. It's going to be a great game. Patrick Mahomes taking nothing away from him, but this is not the kind of game you bet against Bill Belichick over facing Andy Reid. So I think it's going to be Patriots and Saints. I'm going with the experience over the youth, and I think on Monday morning we'll be talking about Julian Edelman making a big third down catch and Michael Thomas burning the Rams secondary.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting about Michael Thomas because my fear is that Tlaib is back and that he can do something with Thomas, and then you look at their weaponry, and it's not that good. So if I'm playing DraftKings, I think I'm interested in the former Ohio State return man. I think that he's got a chance to make some yardage up. Listen, I picked the Saints, so I have to stay with the Saints. I can't suddenly abandon the Saints. I think the Rams, I think they're going to be bothered by the crowd. I think the quarterback's too young. I think that that they could win the game. I'm worried that Drew Brees is injured because I have seen him struggle with the deep ball. He's just not as accurate as he is. He missed a couple of big throws in that last game, and it makes me think there's something wrong there. So I'm going to go with the Saints because I picked them. And in the AFC Championship game, you know, how do you take Andy Reid over Bill Belichick? How do you do that? Patty Mahomes, I love that kid. I think he's phenomenal. But he's also capable of throwing a couple picks is Tom Brady capable of that? I mean, Tom Brady gets rid of the ball in a hurry, and he seems to know what the hell he's doing. It's just Tom Brady is, what is it, 13-2, and it's below freezing. I just can't imagine them losing as much as you might want it. I think in my heart, I would like to see the Rams against the Chiefs, the two teams that kind of dominated the year and the offense and all that stuff. That is what I want in my heart. But my head is telling me never go against Belichick, never go against Tom Brady. You know, Tom's 41, right? He'll be 42 when next year starts. How many more Sundays does he have? And does Patrick Mahomes play like, hey, I'm here, this has been a big prize, I'm loosey-goosey, or, you know, is Tom more desperate than Patrick Mahomes? Weird as that might sound.
Oh, definitely.
So I got to go with the Saints against the bloody Patriots
Breeze,
as much as
Breeze
I
versus Brady.
Yeah, and I really want to go the other way, but I'm with you, David. I can't do it.
I don't know what the Roman numerals are, but that's Super Bowl 40 something.
I think on Monday we may be talking about the two losing quarterbacks as much as the two winning quarterbacks, because I think it's going to be, I think mistakes will decide it. I think the young guys are more likely to make them.
NFC side, Jared Goff going to the Superdome, high pressured spot. He's going to have to come through if they want to beat the Saints. They're going to have to put some points on the board. Under pressure this year, his passer rating is 59. 59.
Is that bad?
Yes. On the road this year, quarterback rating 82. He's a guy, 10 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. He's elite at home, but he's just a guy on the road. I'm going to take the Saints to win at home. And in the AFC, now the big story early in the week, the Arctic Blast. It's going to be the 20s.
29 degrees.
Yeah, they're going to be fine.
Andy Reid is going to wear shorts.
No, don't do that again. I saw a picture.
It's Wednesday. We'll see what happens.
His legs are all red. Oh, just... New England's been awful on the road this season. They're below 500, 3-5 on the year. They've scored 12 fewer points per game on the road, and the only good team they played on the road was here, the Bears. I know they ended up winning that game, needed a couple special team touchdowns. Bill Belichick teams have allowed 40 or more points 7 times, 3 times to Andy Reid. The Patriots lose to the Chiefs with the blood moon out. So Saints and Chiefs move on. Players we'll be talking about, Michael Thomas, he's arguably the best receiver in football, and for some reason he doesn't get the credit. And Pat Mahomes going to the Super Bowl, we'll be talking about him.
I feel more confident in the NFC that the Saints are going to win. Like you said, Joe, the splits for Jared Goff I think are very, very striking. And as much as we want to talk about Breeze and Thomas, and these are, you know, Thomas, you don't want to put in the Hall of Fame yet, but he is one of the best receivers in all of football, and Breeze is going to the Hall of Fame. I think the player we might be talking about coming out of that game, though, is Eli Apple, who was a great acquisition for New Orleans to shore up their secondary and kind of improve them there where they have been burned the past couple years at times. I think it was a huge improvement there when he came over from New York, and I think he will probably get a takeaway from Goff, who's more susceptible to throwing the ball away on the road. So I think New Orleans wins there. You know, I've been waffling a little bit in the AFC. I don't want to bet against Bill Belichick and Tom Brady because they've done it so many times, and Andy Reid falls on his face a lot in these big games. I don't know if I want to bet against Pat Mahomes, though. You know, I think I am going to bet against Pat Mahomes, actually. I think it's going to be Saints and Patriots in the Super Bowl, which will be a wild storyline. Any one of these matchups with these four teams, you throw any of the combinations together, and you're going to be able to formulate some good storylines, I think. So hoping for good games, competitive games, and something for us to talk about for the next couple of weeks.
Right. I want good games this weekend. And yeah, it's going to lead. Listen, any matchup that we get, we should be happy with, okay, unless you obviously invested the wrong way. You know, Patriots did me a solid last week. It wasn't even close. Told everybody that was the way to go. The Arctic Blast that's now not going to happen does kind of take a little bit of the what was kind of fun, I thought. I just wanted to see that, like, go down with, like, 8-degree temperatures and below freezing with the wind chill and all of that. I love, Mully, how you did the Patty Mahomes. I loved how you Irished him up. That was great.
He's Patrick. Podrig. Packy Mahomes.
It's hard. It's really hard to bet against Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. It's really, really hard. I'm going to go with the Patriots in like a absolute classic, and it's going to be Tom Brady who we're going to be talking about, just how this guy does it again. I think this is a last team that has the ball type of a game wins this game.
Over.
And I also like the Rams on the road, but it's not because of Jared Goff. Two things, Mully. You know, you pointed it out, and then I started looking at it, and I think you're onto it. I don't think the 40-year-old quarterback from Purdue is 100% right. Yeah. I don't think he's right. And here's the other thing. I think the Rams are going to be able to control. They've got two running backs. That offensive line has got it going. I think they're going to run the ball all over the Saints. They're going to take that crowd out of it. They're not going to need Goff. I think we're going to be talking about the Rams offensive line. I think we're going to have a Rams-Patriots Super Bowl. I want, like you, a Chiefs-Rams Super Bowl, but I think we're going to have a Patriots-Rams Super Bowl come Monday.
Joe, I don't know if you're saving it for early odds tomorrow, but over on Chiefs-Patriots?
Yes, confident everybody's overreacting. The number's been dipping. I saw it earlier at 54. I think it's 55 now. That's going to be a lot of fun Sunday night.
This is a big question, okay? You ready for that?
I'll let you know if it's big.
If you were Manny Machado's agent and believed the $175 million offer was way too low, would you recommend Machado threaten to sit out the season if he doesn't get a better offer?
Absolutely not. I don't. What's his leverage for sitting out? Who's he punishing? I'm going to hold my breath until I turn blue if you don't give me a better offer? I mean,
till they build the wall.
But I'm saying he's not under contract. You're going to actually not play? How does that help you get your deal the next year? I've decided to sit out and get fat for a year. It just doesn't make any sense at all. It's not like a team has a franchise tag on you. You threaten to sit out, and I'm going to come back, and then you're going to have to let me go. You're going to lose me. This is a guy that will have no money coming in. It doesn't make any sense to me at all. I would try to be creative. I would try to get. You know, maybe if indeed the money was that bad, I would try to get an option for 1 year. Give me a 1 year option, Chicago Cubs. I'll come in and try to win a World Series for you, and then I'll go hit the market again next year. Try to be an MVP. Who wouldn't want that guy on an option year? That would be unbelievable. I don't know what kind of if it's 175, get that contract, but demand to leave after a year or 2 years or. Supposedly 3 years is part of that contract, right? At least that's what we believe. No, I think that he doesn't benefit in any fashion by sitting out. I don't understand how that helps him.
Well, I think
you're holding baseball hostage. You're pointing out the hypocrisy of the game. That doesn't help you as a player. It doesn't help you as an individual losing an earning year. That's nuts.
I think conversations like this become more commonplace only because you see examples of Le'Veon Bell sitting out a season in the NFL. You see,
but that's fighting the franchise tag.
You see conversations about Zion Williamson, sitting out the March Madness to preserve his body for the NBA. You see all these kind of ideas that suggest, why would somebody risk this or risk that? I think it's absurd to give up a year when you're 26 years old of earning power and earning potential. If he wants to go out and sign a one-year contract even, it's still going to be $25 million he can bank. I think that would be crazy for me. You take the security. I know $175 million is a low market offer, but I think that you drive that up a little bit, and it's hard for me to reconcile the idea of him actually walking away from that kind of money. That kind of generational wealth, even though he might be worth more. This might not be the winter to maximize his earning potential, but he's still going to get a pretty good deal, I think. This conversation about $175 million offer, it sounds low, but that's also just a beginning offer. So I don't know where it's going to end up, but I don't think would be wise to get advice or for the agent to give him advice to sit out. You're never going to make that money back.
No way. You don't even consider this. There are already some teams questioning him because of his comments about hustling and things we've heard other people say. This would lower his value even further. And Molly, I agree 100%. I consider signing a one or even a two-year deal. Look ahead. Look at some of these free agent classes. Where would you be at the very top? He had all this pressure this season to perform. That's what he dealt with every day of the season. and he had probably the best year of his career. So if I were him, I would. If you really feel that offended, you hate the 175 that much, bet on yourself again. Pull a Dexter Fowler and sign a 1 or 2 year deal. And baseball's a different situation compared to football or the NBA.
I will be shocked if Manny Machado signs for less than $225 million somewhere. This 175 number, David, like you said, this is kind of an initial, you know, throwing it out there, seeing what comes back on the line type of thing. It's the opening to a negotiation. And Joe, really good point there regarding the questions surrounding his hustle, his passion, his fire and desire for the game, whatever you want to call it. That's already there around him because of the dumb things he did and said last season during the playoffs. And I think that this, if this was even considered in a realistic way, that he would absolutely be just killed for that. And it would probably end up lowering his value. I mean, just sitting out and pouting till you get your way is not something you do if you are looking for a massive payday. It's just... it would not do him any favors.
First of all, I love this hot take. I think this is really fun. It's fun for what we do. Sitting out and pouting, it's an interesting... Is that sitting out and pouting? I mean, at some point, if the players really believe there's like collusion going on and something's just not right and the owners are sitting on piles of cash, somebody has to do something. But I don't think Manny Machado is that guy to sit out and do something about it. I'd be shocked. Now, what would not shock me, to go the opposite of Kevin, and I'm not just doing this, is the 1 year deal. Like, listen, I'm betting on myself. I'll play for $25 million. I'll play for $25 million in a big market. 1 year, $25 million. Who wants me? First one that writes the check, I'm going there. And then we'll revisit this next offseason. That's what I think is going to happen.
What about Jason Hayward getting a whatever, $184 million deal that included the opt-out, and everybody is now regretful that he decided not to opt out?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
So the opt out would give you the wouldn't that serve? It's not really a $175 million deal. It's a 3 year deal for whatever, 60, 70, whatever the hell it is. And then you just opt out at that point and go make your money. I mean, wouldn't that be a better idea than being a martyr to the game or signing a 1 year deal?
It also underscores just how little we know about the specific of the first contract offer. That may be exactly the case. That may be a very, very, really attractive offer to Manny Machado.
Sure.
3 years, then you get a chance to be a free agent again?
29 years old.
There's no simple answer to that question, David.
Does Joe Maddon have reason to feel disrespected at the Cubs convention, given how Tom Ricketts stopped short of a full endorsement and Theo Epstein refusing to give him a contract extension? Do the Cubs fear that Maddon has become bigger than the Cubs?
Well, I'll just tell you how I would feel. I would feel very disrespected if I was Joe Maddon. I would be a guy that comes to the Cubs convention, and yeah, you had a year that ended badly. You had a season that was a very big disappointment. But I would look at it, if I'm Joe Maddon, I'm accomplished to the point where I have a World Series. Despite all of the rhetoric about what happened in Game 7 and all those things, I would feel like I won a World Series in this town. And the chairman yesterday went on two radio stations and, yeah, was very kind and polite, but I think that to say that Tom Ricketts gushed over Joe Maddon would be totally exaggerating what happened. He didn't gush. It was qualified support, right? And I don't think Theo Epstein has been much different. And I think you know that by the contract structure. They're going to let him go into this season as a lame duck or free agent to be, however you want to view it, however you want to present it. But I think Joe Maddon has done enough, as we talked about during the season. My opinion is they could have easily gone to him and offered a contract extension and justified it, because I think he's done enough for that, a modest contract extension. I understand that's not the way baseball is going. I understand they're devaluing the manager position and they're paying these guys as little as they possibly can because it's a push-button front office way to manage baseball games. But absolutely, if I'm Joe Maddon, I got a chip on my shoulder heading into this weekend, heading into next season, heading into spring training. Do they fear Maddon has become bigger than the Cubs? I don't know if that's part of it, but I think that, you know, that is also in a town that saw Mike Ditka become arguably bigger than the Bears after the 85 season, it's not a dumb question.
You know, Joe Maddon seems to have unlocked the secret to life, and a lot of us struggle with it. And if it were me in that situation, it would be a very unpleasant one for everyone around me. I would not handle it very well, and that's why my issues in life are what they are. It's why I'm not as successful as I could have been or should have been or should be, whatever way you want to put it. I think that you can get in your own way. But I think Joe has unlocked the secret. Joe understands. And we see it in professional football, David. You move the ball 10 yards and you keep practicing. Joe is a positive, upbeat guy who has turned lame duck into free agent. And God bless him for it, because that's the only way you can go about it. I think he's at some level he's being dissed, so he should be offended. But don't get into the weeds with people. Don't turn it into schoolyard insults back and forth. And, you know, well, I don't want you to come talk to me. Well, then you can't fly anywhere. You just got to avoid all that and be positive and turn something bad into something good. Not desperation, motivation. And I think Joe knows how to do it. I think we've seen him do it. I think that they should have given him at least a 1-year extension to his deal. I think that I don't think they fear that Joe's become bigger than the Cubs. I think they're really peeved with him for a few things that he's handled, including the Brandon Morrow thing. And I think that this is more about control of baseball decisions than it is about, you know, the game has changed. I get all that. But Joe will have a landing spot, and he knows how to operate in life, which is you don't get in the weeds with people. You move forward. You don't get into some conflict. You just get out of your own way and keep moving forward. God bless Joe.
No, I don't feel Joe should feel disrespected at all. Ricketts has been paying him $25 million over 5 years. He's got the Binney's money on TV rolling in. No, he's hanging out with Pat Hughes. I don't think so at all. Maybe he's got a contract, and he's going to manage through that contract. Then they're going to sit down and figure it out, and they still have another year of evaluation. And I know that sounds crazy with a ring and 3 consecutive appearances in the NLCS, but I think they do fear Joe Maddon. And here's what they fear. Not that he's bigger than the Cubs. They fear him being their manager in the playoffs, because multiple times there are a lot of questionable moves made by that guy. And I don't know that they are on board completely with him as the manager in the future. That's why I think it feels World Series or bust this year for Joe.
I think it's the only way he keeps his job. And I think that's fair given the talent that's been offered to him on this team, given the assets and the resources that have been put into the club for the last few years. I don't think Maddon has any reason to feel disrespected. He signed a contract, and he's honoring his contract, and the team is honoring his contract. They didn't fire him. They didn't take any of his money away that was guaranteed to him when he signed this deal. He knew it was through a certain date, and it's the team's prerogative to either extend that contract or see the contract out. That's what contracts are. These things matter. And Joe is fulfilling his end of the bargain. The team is doing their side. I don't think Joe's bigger than the Cubs. Certainly not. I mean, his reputation was hurt after winning the World Series. It's not just doing it and winning it. It's how you did it, apparently. And Joe's still fully never recovered from that. In the fans' eyes, certainly, and I'd probably, given the way that this has been handled, in the eyes of the front office as well.
I would also be offended if I were Joe Maddon about how this is being handled. I would like some encouraging words, at least. I understand why they're not extending him. I think Joe Ostrowski is on it. I think this is more about the powers that be, Jed and Theo, worried about how he manages in the postseason than anything else. I do think it's interesting, though. Is he bigger than the Cubs? And does that? I don't think this group cares about that kind of stuff. I don't. But I think it is interesting to talk about, and I'd be willing to listen to a conversation about it.
Why don't you just get to the first question? Just jump right in.
Don't miss Northwestern basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Single-game tickets are available for Penn State, Rutgers, Minnesota, and Ohio State. Buy now at nusports.com. What did you think of Alderman Tom Tunney's reaction to Tom Ricketts' comments on this show yesterday?
I think Tunney got it right. I think he apologized for the vulgarity, which he should have, and there is an element of it got personal between him and the and the team. And I think that he stayed on his message, which is the idea that that the alderman shouldn't be a yes man for the Cubs, and that one entity or business shouldn't control a ward in our city. So, you know, there's still shots back and forth. There's still bad blood. But I think that I think Tunney did the right thing by apologizing in particular.
Yeah, I think it in this morning's Tribune, Tom Tunney talks about how his reaction to what Tom Ricketts said to us. And I think that was positive. He certainly didn't. He did apologize, which I think is recommended and good for everybody. He said, his quote is, "I said up their butts, so I apologize for that. Let me say that." That may be the quote of the week. I mean, it's like, how often do you hear a politician put it in those terms?
I'm going to be up the butt every day.
See? So he apologized for that. And you know what? If I said that...
He doesn't need to apologize for that. No, that's gold.
I would apologize for that, too. But I also think that in that apology, he made it also clear that this is not a rift that's going to end anytime soon.
No. And he's in trouble.
He's in trouble. Yeah. And if he gets reelected, it could be trouble for just it's going to go on and on and on. But yesterday was a good first step, perhaps.
Yeah, he did say up their butts.
He did.
He did apologize. Okay. Yeah. I feel like I'm talking to my 4-year-old. When
I'm going to be up the butt every day.
Stop saying that.
That was the weirdest thing. Is that a common expression? I'm going to be up your butt. I thought no. It was like on your arse, right? Yeah. I'm going to be on you.
Yeah.
Right? It's not up your butt.
In a microphone. When I heard Ricketts...
I'm going to be up the butt.
Say that. I was expecting Tunney to just come out firing today. I knew there would be a response that we would be talking about, but I didn't think he was going to take the high road. And I said good for him.
Yeah, good for him. He works for... the citizens of Lakeview, and it is Lakeview. It's not Wrigleyville. I know colloquially we'll call it that, but it's not actually Wrigleyville. And Tom Ricketts may think that he's entitled to everything because he bought the team. Well, his dad bought the team, whatever, however that worked. But Tom Tunney doesn't work for the Cubs. He works for the people, and he has their interests in mind, not a bunch of billionaires.
Kevin, after $1 billion investment, it's closer to being Ricketsville than Wrigleyville.
It looks like it. Just, you know, they just got to keep the... Put the big sign up with Tom's face on there, and they'll have everything.
It'll always be Bedford Falls to me.
And while Kevin is right, it is Lakeview and not Wrigleyville. There is like this big, huge
eyesore
baseball museum that
crap hole.
Is there. Really?
You know what? I got to tell you something.
It's nice.
It is. It is.
I was down there yesterday. I had lunch with a friend yesterday there. It is spectacular. It is unbelievable what they have done there.
Everything but the inside of the park is nice.
I you know, Kevin, I know
are you listening to this, Mitch?
Yeah, it's absolutely beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful, and what they've done is amazing. And the area, I used to live in the area. The area looks unbelievable.
Like I said, if you took somebody that has not been around over the last 10 years, has not stepped foot in that area in 10 years, you would say like
it's gobsmacking.
They picked up Wrigley Field and dropped it here. Like,
right.
I mean, it would be the opposite, right? I mean, listen, if you don't have to live in Lakeview, okay, you don't have to live there. You chose to live there. It's not a requirement to live there. I think there's a lot of eye opening things. I'm going to keep it to sports, but there's a lot of eye opening things. How Tom Tunney was appointed for this position and how he's been basically run unopposed for this long. Listen, let the people of Lakeview decide. They're waking some people up, opening some eyes, whatever. Do I care about the apology? No. Thank you, Tom, for all the good audio you've given to us here at the morning show.
Jeez, I was just sort of disappointed he didn't call in right away. I thought maybe he could apologize on the air.
And you can send over a tray of cinnamon buns. That's fine with me.
It's too much sugar. All right, that is the 5 at 5. 312-644-6767 is the number. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.